Last week we started a series called Hidden Figures, in which we are highlighting this month for people of color in the Word who have not been recognized for who they really are. They are here, we just overlook them sometimes, and we talked about Jethro and his contribution to the leadership capability of Moses, and today we're moving forward to another woman named Queen of Sheba. This is scripture that I have preached from before, but the Lord just led me to revisit this again today for our benefit and to look at the Queen of Sheba. As we look at this chapter 9 of 2 Chronicles, it tells us or outlines the visit from the Queen of Sheba to Solomon, who was king of Israel. Now I'll just read a few verses. And when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon, she came to prove Solomon with hard questions at Jerusalem with a very great company and camels that bear spices and gold in abundance and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions, and there was nothing hid from Solomon which he told her. The topic today is Queen of Sheba, a wise and wealthy woman seeking the truth. Amen. 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 Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for the power in your word, Father. We thank you for your word that has been consistent in our lives, Father. And we just thank you for your word that is still working today. Pray for me as I attempt to preach this message in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You know, our Christian journey is often like the Queen of Sheba. Amen. We are seeking the truth. There's a lot of time and effort spent on seeking the truth. Don't you know scientists spend time trying to seek the truth about the origin of life? Philosophers and psychologists, they search for the truth of the meaning of life. Our judicial system seeks to find the truth in the court of law. As parents, don't we teach our children to tell the truth?
Amen.
This is about the Queen of Sheba, who came from a long distance to seek the truth about Solomon. You know, Solomon was the richest man. He was the wisest man that we see in the Word. And you know what? This is also about Solomon. Because when you do good and do God's will, other people will come seeking you. Amen? Amen. We don't have to advertise ourselves. But when we do good, word will get around and others will come to us. Because he prayed for wisdom to rule the people, because he looked after the people, he was blessed in many ways. He was blessed because he followed God. But today, we're going to talk about the Queen of Sheba. Solomon is king of Israel. His father, David, is now dead. Solomon has been able to build the temple. It is a glorious temple representing the house of God. You can find a lot of this in 1 Kings, in 1 Kings 1 through 7 or 8, those chapters, and you'll see what he did and how he ruled the people. And when you do good things, again, the word gets out. And the word got out about this man, Solomon.
Yep.
This man who was full of wisdom. And it tells us in verse 1 of 2 Chronicles 9, and when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon. She came to prove Solomon with hard questions at Jerusalem. The Queen of Sheba came for two reasons. She had heard of the fame of Solomon. She had heard about what he did and how he ruled. And she heard about his reputation before God. She said, I've got to check this out for myself. There are certain things that people can tell us that seem too good to be true. And that's how Solomon was for the Queen of Sheba. So she heard of his fame, and she came to prove Solomon with hard questions at Jerusalem with a great company. It means she did not come alone. She had a caravan and camels that bear spices and gold in abundance and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. Now, Queen of Sheba, Sheba, that's a name that we see in Genesis chapter 10 as a descendant of Cush. It is believed to be where modern-day Ethiopia or Yemen is. That's the area where Sheba was at that time. But she came to commune with him with all that was in her heart. She came with hard questions for him to check out, is he legit or not, or is he just faking it? Some of us are old enough to remember a game show called To Tell the Truth. Anybody remember that? To Tell the Truth. And this was a game show where you had three contestants. And see, the moderator read something about the person, and you had three contestants who each said that they were that person. So you had a panelist of guest panelists who their job was to ask questions of each individual, and through their questions they were supposed to discern whether or not which one was telling the truth. And at the end, each of the panelists had to vote on which one was telling the truth. Now, in that show, you had some convincing people. You would look at it sometimes, you say, all three of these guys are the same, or all three of these individuals could be that person. But other times, you could tell right off the bat that, no, that is not the one. The one in the middle is the right one. Some of us have been playing to tell the truth with the Lord for a long time. Amen. Amen. We've been trying to hedge our bets, and we worship the Lord and we worship other God. We got places reserved for all three, and then we wonder why things are not going right. Amen. But as we search for the truth, don't you know that we're aided by the Holy Spirit and by the Word of God? This Queen of Sheba came with material gifts to bring in tribute to the King of Solomon because she heard of his fame and she wanted to make an alliance with him, so she brought tribute. You see, as a leader, when you act right, amen? When you act right, people will seek you for the right reasons, amen? You see, when you show wisdom in your administration and you treat others the right way, people will come with you praising you. People will come saying good things about you. People will come bringing gifts to you. But she brought material gifts and she was seeking the truth. The question for us today is, what do we have to offer the truth? We know that Jesus is the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. The question is, what gifts do we have to offer Christ today? Are we offering him our gifts of our talents, of our devotion, of our work? What gifts do we bring to the truth today? So this woman came. This woman who was leader of the great nation of Sheba came and found Solomon and talked to him and shared with him. And in verse 2 it says, and Solomon told her all her questions, and there was nothing hid from Solomon which he told her not. So he listened to her, and he listened to her puzzles. He listened to her what she had in her heart, and everything that she asked or brought up, he had an answer for. You see, she witnessed his wisdom. She was there, and she witnessed his wisdom. And in verse 3, it says, "And when the queen of Sheba had seen the wisdom of Solomon and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, his cupbearers also, and their apparel, and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her." Sometimes when we seek the truth is more than we think it's going to be. When we seek the truth, we will find the truth. And we thought we were seeking one thing, but isn't it so nice to find something that is so much more glorious than we ever thought we would see? So she saw him. She saw the wisdom of him. She witnessed his wisdom. She looked at the house that he had built. Have you ever gone into a grand house, a house that you never thought you would ever go into? I know we used to go to the parade of homes that would happen every September, and we would go into houses that we could never afford, but we would go into those houses just to look around to see what was built into those houses, to see how they were laid out, and just how nice they were. And some of them leave you breathless. She saw the house that he had built. And she saw the provisions that he had, the meat of his table. He had the best of the best. She saw his servants and his ministers and how they were dressed. She saw his cupbearers and how they were dressed. And she saw how he worshiped. She saw his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord. Yeah, yeah. She said, "No, not only is this guy wise, not only is he wealthy, but he worships God." Yeah, yeah. Amen. That's what all the single women want, don't they? Somebody who's wise. Somebody who's wealthy. And somebody who worships God.
Amen.
There was no more spirit in her. She concluded that Solomon was as good as advertised. She came seeking the truth. She found the truth. And in verse 5, she conceives the greatness of Solomon. And she said to the king, it was a true report, which I heard in my own land of thine acts and of thy wisdom. She heard of how he forsook riches and prayed for wisdom instead. But as he was obedient to God, God added to his bank account. God added to his people. She had heard of how he judged the people. In 1 Kings chapter 3, there's a story of the two women, each who have a newborn baby, living in the same house. And in the story, one woman's baby dies. So what she does when the other woman is sleeping with her baby, she switches babies. She puts her dead baby with the other mother and takes the live baby with her. The other mother wakes up in the morning and says, "My baby's dead." Then she looks at the baby. Then she considers the baby. And she says, "Wait a minute, this is not my baby." She approached the other woman. The woman said, "Yes, that's your baby. This is my baby." So she took it to Solomon. They took it to Solomon. They said, "Solomon, we got a problem here." And she told the story to Solomon. Solomon said, okay, since neither one of y'all can agree on this, I got a solution. Somebody get my sword. Somebody get my sword, and I will cut the baby in half, the living baby in half, and give each one of you a half. The woman whose baby died and who had taken ownership of the other baby said, yes, that sounds like a good idea. But the true mother said, no, 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 don't kill the baby. Give it to the other lady. Solomon had his answer right then. Yes. He knew that the one who was willing to give up her child to see that her child live was the true mother. Maybe the Queen of Sheba heard about that and how he ruled and judged his people. But she didn't believe it until she saw it. You know, all of us are capable of inflating the truth sometimes. When we tell somebody about what has happened in our lives, what we've witnessed, what we've seen, who we know, who we've been with, we tend to inflate the truth sometimes. And every now and then we need to have proof. Because you tell me about all this, but what's the proof? She saw the proof. But she had to see it to fully believe it. It reminds me of the New Testament and the Gospels about a man named Thomas who was doubting Thomas. The one who was not around when Jesus came back, the resurrected Jesus came back. When Thomas came and they told him that they had been with Jesus, Thomas said, I won't believe it. I don't believe y'all because I can't see it with my eyes. I think y'all might have been hallucinating or something. I think you might be just embellishing the story a little bit. I won't believe until I can see him and I see the hole in his palm and I see the hole in his side where they thrust the sword. Unless I see that, I will not believe. A little bit later, Jesus showed up. Said, Thomas, what you got to say now? Here's my hand. Here's my side. Are there doubting Thomases in the church today? Do we have to see before we can believe? In verse 6, she says, howbeit, I believe not their words until I came, and my eyes have seen it. And behold, the one half of the greatness of thy wisdom was not told to me, for thou exceedest the fame of what that I had heard. What she is saying is, what I've seen, what I've witnessed, what I've heard is far greater than what I was told. Every now and then somebody will come to me and say, did you see this on TV last night? Did you see that shot during the basketball game? Did you see the person imitating the politician on Saturday Night Live? Did you see this? And they will tell about how good it is, but then they have to point me to the YouTube and or some channel on social media where I can see it, just see it for myself. And sometimes I will see things and I will see incredible last second shots that are far exceeding in greatness than anybody could explain to me. Sometimes we have to see things with our own eyes. The half of the greatness of thy wisdom was not told to me, for thou exceedest the fame that I heard. But I have a secret for you. The reason why Solomon was like that, because he followed God. Amen. Now Paul said in Ephesians 3:20, now to him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we asked or think, according to the power that worketh in us. It was not Solomon, but it was the power that worked in him. It was the power. She goes on to say in verse 7, happy are thy men, and happy are thy servants, which stand continually before thee, and hear thy wisdom. So she confirmed his prosperity. She confirmed his wisdom. And in this verse, she's confirming the peaceful atmosphere upon his people. They're happy. They do their job with happiness. They take pride in what they do. They don't mind working overtime because they know they're doing it for you and they're doing it for the Lord. Amen. They don't mind. Happy is everybody in your administration. There's no turmoil in your administration. There's no trickery in your administration. Everybody's working together for a common cause. And then look at verse 8. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighteth in thee to set thee on his throne, to be king for the Lord thy God. Because God loved Israel to establish them forever. Therefore made he thee king over them, and to do judgment and justice. She even praised his God. She recognized where he got his strength from. She recognized where everything came from. She praised his God. You know, folks, all we got to worry about is following the Lord and doing the job the best we can. And others will see the source of our strength. But look at this woman, this hidden figure, this queen of Sheba. Look what she did in verse 9. And she gave the king 120 talents of gold. You know that great caravan it talked about in verse 1 that came with her? That's what it was carrying. Amen. 120 talents of gold and of spices great abundance and precious stones. Neither was there any such spice as the queen of Sheba gave King Solomon. Now let's break this down. This hidden figure, 125 talents. I will spare you the calculations, but I'll just tell you what it means today. 125 talents is 4.5 tons. Think about that. 4.5 tons of gold. Now, for homework, you can go home and figure out what the price of gold is right now by the ounce and somehow figure that out, how much 4.5 tons is worth today. Now think about this woman, Queen of Sheba, this woman of color. If she has 4.5 tons of gold to give, how much does she have back at home? She came from a rich nation. They had gold. 4.5 tons there. What does she have at home? And it says, of spices, great abundance. So it wasn't a few bottles of spice, but it was a great abundance of spices. And Israel usually traded for these things. Countries traded for spices that came from other countries. What she had was frankincense with her. Was one of the perfumes that was used in the sanctuary. It was something that when you burn it, isn't that what we still do today of incense? When you burn it, it puts off that sweet smell. Yeah, I remember in college, there were some guys who had some other smells in the dorm rooms. You could always tell the ones because they always had some incense hanging around. You know, the ones who thought they were fooling people by putting a towel in the crack of their door, thinking nothing got out, and I can burn this incense and nobody will know what I'm doing. The incense smells good, but doesn't always mask what is going on. She brought an abundance of frankincense. She brought an abundance of myrrh, which was a precious liquid that flowed from trees in Africa and Arabia. It was the main ingredient in anointing oil. It was one of the gifts that the wise men brought to the baby Jesus. It was a perfume. It was even used in embalming. So it was precious. Great abundance. And precious stones. I guess once they got over the amount of gold, they didn't have to give the amount of anything else. But it was just precious stones. Neither was there any such spice as the Queen of Sheba gave King Solomon. It means she got the best of the best. When you go into the store at a time like this, when Valentine's Day is approaching, you look at different perfumes. Amen. And like, you'll see some on this shelf that costs reasonable. But if you go to certain places, you'll see outrageous stuff that has a price tag accordingly. And it is supposed to be because it is so much better. It comes from the best of the best. No expense spared to make it. And people are willing to pay more money than my house payment for a bottle of precious ointment. So when it says neither was there any such spice of the Queen of Sheba's, it meant that whatever they could accumulate in Israel, it meant that whatever they traded with other nations was an inferior product to what the King of Sheba brought. This woman came in first class. She brought the good stuff. She brought the stones. She brought the spices. She brought the gold to give as tribute to the truth once she found it. And not only that, there's more in verse 10. And the servants also of Haran and the servants of Solomon, which brought gold from Ophir, brought algum trees and precious stones. And the kings made of the algum trees terraces to the house of the Lord and to the king's palace, and harps and psalteries for singers, and there were none such seen before in the land of Judah. Now, as you look at this, you see not only was she bringing stuff, but other people were bringing stuff also to Solomon. And they brought gold and they brought algum trees. Now, this algum tree, algum was a special tree. It was a special hardwood tree. And the wood was so precious that they used it for the terrace and the steps going up into the temple. That's how good it was. That was the good stuff. You go into a Home Depot or Lowe's, you know they have different qualities of wood. You see this knotty pine board, and it costs one thing. And then you see one with no imperfections at all, and it costs 10 times as much because it is better. And it depends on what you're going to use it for is what you get. If you're building something, if it's going to be hidden and nobody's going to see it, you get the cheapest material you can find that can do the job. But if it's going to be showcased, if people are going to see it all the time, then you get the highest grade you can afford. And that's what this algum tree was. Not only that, but apparently it was a perfect gift for wood instruments, as it says here, and harps and psalteries and you know what's that famous violin, Stradivarius? There's a famous violin that there are very few surviving, and scientists are still trying to figure out how he made them. They're still trying to find out the source of the wood he used. They're still trying to find out why it puts out such a great tone, and people seek it all over the world trying to find out the source. He left no notes. He left no recipe when he died a long time ago. But what he did was he left instruments that could make beautiful music. And this was the type of wood that they had here. So they use it to make harps. They use it to make their forms of guitars and things like that. It came from the best of the best. You see what it says here? And there was none such seen before in the land of Judah. And in verse 12, and King Solomon gave to the queen of Sheba all her desire, whatever she asked, besides that which she had brought unto the king. So she turned and went away to her own land, she and her servants, because of the good relationship they had, because of the spirit in which she came. He gave to her whatever she had asked for. We don't know what she asked for materially, but we know what she got. She did get the truth. She did find out that some people, when they're talking about other things, they are telling the truth. A question for today is, once you find the truth, what is our response to the truth? What is our response to the truth? Once you found the truth, you have two choices. You can either accept it and praise it or walk away.
Yeah.
Amen? In Luke chapter 17, we see the story of the 10 lepers who came asking Jesus for mercy. They had heard of his healing power. He told them to show themselves before the priest. Because Leviticus 14 tells us that the priest had to certify the cleansing of someone from illness. So they came to him because they heard of him. They came for him because they were seeking of a healing. And the 10 walked away in search of a priest. And one, seeing that he had been healed, turned around and thanked and praised and glorified Jesus. The one who did that was a Samaritan who was an outcast in the society at that day. This was the one that you would not think would take the time to give thanks to the Lord, to glorify the Lord. A lot of people will go seek the truth. They will discover the truth, but will they acknowledge the truth and praise the truth? There is one truth that we have, and that is this great word of God. Once we come to God, we have a decision to make. Are we going to walk away, or are we going to stay in this word? Are we going to stay in prayer? Are we going to stay in worship? Are we going to devote our lives to the truth? Are we going to give our talents to the truth? Are we going to give our work to the Lord because of all that he has done for us? The Queen of Sheba came, she saw, and she gave, and she went home happy because the truth had been revealed to her, a truth more exceedingly and abundantly, more than she ever thought it would be. I dare say that when we enter into a relationship with our Lord, we enter into a relationship that gives dividends more than we can count. We enter into a relationship that has protection, that hedge of protection around us, not only us, but our families. We enter into a relationship where we always have somebody to talk to, irregardless of what time it is, irregardless of the situation. We got somebody who will answer our questions, maybe not in our time, but in his time. We have someone that makes us feel wanted, part of the family. We have someone who has saved us, who has loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in Jesus Christ shall be saved. Many come seeking that truth. Is this really as good as advertised? Is this relationship with Jesus Christ really worth it? But if you earnestly seek it, you will find it. If you earnestly seek it, you will find it. Bring all your concerns to him. Bring all your questions to him. And bring your gifts to him. We learn a lot from the Queen of Sheba. And she was just not somebody who showed up one day. She was a rich woman. She was wealthy beyond measure. She was a leader in her own country. She was well respected in her own country. But even she knew that she had to seek something else. No matter how rich you are, no matter how well off you are, no matter how much you think you got it like that, there is still a greater truth. And I declare today that that greater truth is Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. The Queen of Sheba. Another hidden figure. Amen. God bless you. Let us stand. Let us stand at this time.